Activity. Adyaksha, superintendent. Cha, and. Manvanaha, always thinking of. Atmana, the super soul. Prakriti, of material nature. Param, transcendental. Translation purport by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. So please repeat. Maharaj Prithu completely dedicated himself to be an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, transcendental to material nature. Consequently, all the fruits of his activities were dedicated to the Lord, and he always thought of himself as the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the proprietor of everything. So there's a very long purport. The life and dedication of Maharaj Prithu in the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead serve as a good example of karma yoga. The term karma yoga is often used in Bhagavad Gita, and herein Maharaj Prithu is giving a practical example of what karma yoga actually is. The first requirement for the proper execution of karma yoga is given herein. Palam brahmani sannyasya, or vinyasya. One must give the fruits of his activities to the Supreme Brahman, Parabrahman, Krishna. By doing so, one actually situates himself in the renounced order of life, sannyas. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18.2, giving up the fruits of one's activities to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called sannyas. Kamyanam karmanam yasam sannyasyam karyo viduhu sarva karma palatyagam prahustyagam vichakshanaha. To give up the result of all activities is called renunciation, tyaga, by the wise. And that state is called the renounced order of life, sannyas, by great learned men. Although he was living as a householder, Prithu Maharaj was actually in the renounced order of life, sannyas. This will be clearer in the following verses. The word nirvishanga, uncontaminated, is very significant because Maharaj Prithu was not attached to the results of his activities. In this material world, a person is always thinking of the proprietorship of everything he accumulates or works for. When the fruits of one's activities are rendered to the service of the Lord, one is actually practicing karma yoga. Anyone can practice karma yoga, but it is especially easy for the householder who can install the deity of the Lord in the home and worship him according to the methods of bhakti yoga. This method includes 9 items, including hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, worshiping the deity, praying, carrying out orders, serving Krishna as friend, and sacrificing everything for him. Shravanam kirtanam vishno, smaranam padasevanam, archanam vandanam dasyam, sakyam atmanivedanam. These methods of karma yoga and bhakti yoga are being broadcast all over the world by the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Anyone can learn these methods simply by following the examples of the members of the society. In one's home or in a temple, the deity is considered the proprietor of everything, and everyone is considered the deity's eternal servant. The Lord is transcendental, for he is not part of the material creation. The words prakriti param are used in this verse because everything within this material world is created by the external material energy of the Lord, but the Lord himself is not a creation of this material energy. The Lord is the supreme superintendent of all material creations, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9:10. Mayad yakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetuna nena kanteya jagat viparvartite. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, producing all the moving and unmoving beings, and by its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. All material changes and material progress taking place by the wonderful interaction of matter are under the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Events in the material world are not taking place blindly. If one always remains a servant of Krishna and engages everything in his service, one is accepted as Jivan Mukta, a liberated soul, and even during his lifetime within the material world, Generally, liberation takes place after giving up the body, but one who lives according to the example of Prithu Maharaj is liberated even in this lifetime. In Krishna consciousness, the results of one's activities depend on the will of the Supreme Person. Indeed, in all cases, the result is not dependent on one's own personal dexterity, but is completely dependent on the will of the Supreme. This is the real significance of Palam Brahmani Sannyasya. A soul dedicated to the service of the Lord should never think of himself as the personal proprietor or the superintendent. A dedicated devotee should prosecute his work according to the rules and regulations described in devotional service. The results of his activities are completely dependent on the supreme will of the Lord. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. There are many, many topics in this purport that could be spoken about at great length. But in the time that we have this morning, I want to talk about this concept of liberation, which is mentioned in the final part of the purport. You know, it's a big topic. I mean, soon, you know, in this country, we're going to be celebrating, you know, July 4th, you know, the Independence Day, you know, when the country became liberated from Britain, from Great Britain. And in South America, you know, they have this character, Simon Bolivar, you know, who is known as the great liberator of all the South American countries, Central American countries from the Spanish. You know, they became liberated. You know, people are very much interested in this concept of liberation, you know, the liberation of the slaves in the United States. You know, it's something that we find all over. Different people desire, you know, different kinds of liberation or, you know, mukti or freedom. Another name for mukti is called kaivalyam. But for the devotees, it said kaivalyam narakayate. We don't like, you know, this idea of liberation, impersonal liberation, because there's no possibility of service. You know, it's considered to be like a selfish desire. And the pure devotees, I mean, we were hearing the other day, and they have no desire other than to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishvare bhagavad bhaktir hoitiki tvayi. You know, Lord Chaitanya says, you know, the pure devotees, they have no desire for wealth, followers, any sort of material gratification in exchange for their service. They simply desire to serve Krishna in whatever capacity, lifetime after lifetime, even within this material world, because that's the pure devotional attitude. But on an individual level, you know, that's a little bit difficult to attain, you know, that attitude of pure devotional service. And to some extent, you know, individually, you know, we still have some, you know, desires for liberation. Even ordinary people in the material world, I mean, when we get away from the political and the social kinds of liberation, you know, just individually, and we can see that, you know, people, they have individual desires for freedom, which appear to be, in some sense, reflections of the different spiritual kinds of liberation that are listed in our shastras. Like our Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas speak about five kinds of liberation. There's Sayujya Mukti, which is, you know, the impersonal liberation merging into Brahman. But then there's Salokya Mukti, the liberation of existing on the planet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one of the Vaikuntha planets. Sarupya liberation, you know, the liberation of having the same form, kind of form, as the Personality of Godhead. Samipya, having the association of the Personality of Godhead. And Sharshti, you know, having the opulences of the Personality of Godhead. So those are also different kinds of mukti, liberation. And we see that even ordinary people, you know, have these kinds of desires, like Sayujya. I mean, they may not be like the Mayavadi sannyasis, consciously thinking of merging into Brahman, but, you know, sometimes they just feel like blowing their minds, you know, like just forgetting everything, you know, getting completely intoxicated, because they want to get liberated from the consciousness because they want to get liberated from the consciousness of their ordinary existence, which they find, you know, very confining and limiting and frustrating. You know, so sometimes they just want to break out of it, you know, and completely lose themselves, you know, in intoxication. Or in some extreme cases, they become so disappointed, you know, they want to commit suicide. So they have this, you know, these desires for impersonal liberation. And sometimes even, you know, in our devotional lives, we may become victims of that, which is, you know, just, you know, because of the particular state of consciousness we're in, we're just like, oh, I just wish it could all be over, something. You know, we just want to forget everything. Or, you know, people have this desire for some perverted reflection of sarupya liberation. Because everybody would like to look better than they are, you know, in some way. You know, they wish their form was a little more slim or a little more sculpted or better looking. You know, it's kind of like a reflection. Yeah, they want to become liberated from the body that they have. They want a better, more attractive body. So I think that's also, you know, kind of a reflection of this sarupya kind of liberation, which is to have the best kind of body, which is a Vaikuntha body, a body like the residents of the Vaikuntha planets. And that's a kind of liberation that we recognize, sarupya mukti, but I think they're perverted reflections of it, you know, that even ordinary people have. You know, they want a very brilliant, nice, you know, attractive, strong, healthy body. They want to become liberated from the limiting, frustrating, unsatisfactory type of body that they imagine that, you know, they have. Or, and we may even feel this in devotional service too. You know, we may also have some of these kinds of desires for liberation from the kind of body that we now have. And then there's salokya mukti, which means going to Krishna's planet, the best place. And even ordinary people have this. They want to go to some cool place. They want to either temporarily or permanently change their place of residence. Like a lot of people, they want to come to California because, you know, they think California is such a wonderful place. Beaches, palm trees, Hollywood, everything. You know, much better than living in some little town in the Midwest, they imagine or think. Or even you come here to Los Angeles. You know, people, like, they may have some house somewhere, but they want a house in Beverly Hills or Malibu or something like that. You know, they want to go to Hawaii, or they want to go to Bali or something. You know, everybody, they want to become liberated from the place where they're living. Or many people around the world, they want to come to the United States because they think this is heaven on earth. You know, like, so they can, they work very hard to come here somehow or other, legally or illegally, because they want some kind of liberation from the place where they're existing, and they imagine some better place. So that's a kind of desire for a kind of moksha. Of course, the best place to be is on a Vaikuntha planet. Goloka Vrindavan, one of the Vaikuntha planets. There's no birth, no death, no old age, no disease. There's so many nice descriptions of what life is like there. You know, the Brahma Samhita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Very wonderful place. So there's that kind of desire for liberation. And even in our devotional lives, we may also be feeling that. Sometimes we want to get liberated from the same old temple that we're in. You know, we want to become liberated from the country that we're in. You know, that's, of course, desiring to improve one's quality and opportunity for devotional service, that's, you know, spiritual desire. But sometimes we have to see, is it really a spiritual desire to increase and improve one's service, you know, to the society that Prabhupada mentions here, to the spiritual authorities, or is it kind of a selfish desire for liberation, a kind of moksha? And then there's samipya mukti, you know, the desire to associate personally with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is also has its material kind of reflections, because many people, they're very unhappy, you know, with their association. Maybe like when you're in high school, you know, you want to be with a certain crowd of people or clique of people, the cool people, the in crowd, or people, they want a certain kind of association. And they think, oh, if I could just associate with this girl or boy or this man or woman, you know, I would be happy. It would be kind of like a liberation from the dull, kind of uninteresting people that I have to hang out with every day. People want that. They want liberation from their relationship. You know, whatever unsatisfactory kind of relationship they find themselves in, they think, you know, they imagine there could be some kind of liberation by associating with somebody that's more attractive, you know, in some way. But that's, you know, like a reflection of the, you know, perverted reflection of the desire to associate personally with the most attractive person, Krishna, because that's that samipya, mukti. And in our devotional lives, you know, this may be reflected in different material and spiritual ways. You know, we may also feel this need for liberation from what we regard as unsatisfactory association. We want better association. And in certain circumstances, that can be very healthy if it's the proper motive. But if it's just a kind of material thing, a desire for, you know, some kind of material liberation and or for some material kind of improvement, then it may not be such a good thing. And then there's sarshti, you know, having the sarshti mukti, you know, the liberation of having the same opulences as Krishna. And in material life, there are kind of perverted reflections of this kind of desire for liberation, like one kind of opulence is money. You know, so nobody's ever satisfied with the amount of money that they have. They feel very limited, you know, by the amount of wealth that they have. You know, so they're always thinking of some way to get more, you know, opulence, you know, to liberate themselves from the being in the position of not being able to buy or have, you know, everything that one wants because one doesn't have enough money. You know, so therefore, you know, you want to improve yourself somehow so that you can have more money or go to Las Vegas and of course, I heard a story recently about, well, actually, there was a story in Australia, you know, that some devotee had some lottery ticket and he promised if he won, he would give it to the devotees, and he got $1 million or something. Or in Las Vegas, there are some devotees that got a free chance at a slot machine or something and pulled it and got $10,000, used it to improve their devotional service. But I mean, we always want to get more, you know, opulence because we feel limited by our present circumstances. Of course, the pure devotees, they have an entirely different idea. Like this Salokya Mukti, they don't even desire that. They say, "Let me serve. It's heaven or hell or whatever. Just let me serve you." Or Sarupya Mukti, having a form. Let me be an insect. You know, living in the house of a devotee. I don't care. You know, whatever kind of body you give me, just as long as I have. Let me be a blade of grass. You know, in Vrindavan, let me be an insect in the house of a devotee. Let me be a dog, even. Or sarshti. Some devotees, they appear to be, yeah, I don't desire any kind of material wealth. Just let me be your pure servant. So there are these different kinds of liberation And devotees can aspire for these things, but ultimately, the best thing is to come to this stage of pure devotional service, which is being described here. Just whatever, we're not actually in control of the situation that we find ourselves in. That's, as we were hearing here, maya dakshena prakriti suite sacharacharam. By the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by our past activities, we're put in a certain situation with a certain type of body, in a certain type of place, with a certain amount of opulence. And whatever it is that we find ourselves with, we should use in Krishna's service as described here and become jivan mukta. Iha yasya hirardasye karmana manasa gira nikalasya pivastasu jivan muktas uchite. So whatever desires that we have, whatever, you know, we should use them in Krishna's service. We should use our mind, body, and words in Krishna's service, and that's the actual liberation. Liberation in devotional service. So does anybody have any comment or question? Okay, Ray. He had one. Ray.
Well, since most people aren't pure devotees, I mean, present company outlawed, one would, isn't it better to at least want to go back home than to, say, enjoy material pleasures and as an incentive to devotional service, or should one just reject that?
Yes, well, that's what I said in the end there, that it's okay for devotees to aspire, you know, for these different kinds of liberation, except Sayujya Mukti. We don't aspire for that. But otherwise, you know, Vaishnavacharya say, okay, it's, yes, these are things that Vaishnavas can aspire for. But better than that, you know, is to try to come to this platform of being ready to serve Krishna with whatever kind of body you have, with and whatever kind of place Krishna puts you, and with whatever resources that Krishna gives. You know, that's the higher position. But certainly to aspire to go to Goloka Vrindavan's better, you know, than, you know, aspiring to live in even the most opulent place in this material world or enjoy heavenly opulences in the higher material planets. Yes, that's definitely better. There's Prem Sankirtan.
It's explained in Krishna book how Uddhavan, he want to be like blade of grass in Vrindavan, and Krishna fulfill his desire. Is it some other example in Srimad Bhagavatam about similar?
Okay, so the question is, Uddhava had the desire to be a blade of grass, and Krishna fulfilled his desire in Vrindavan. The question is, are there any other examples, specific examples like that, where somebody got that kind of benediction? Does anybody know anything right offhand? Okay, where does it say? So the question is, for Prem Sankirtan, where does it say he became a blade of grass? So do you have that something for that, Prem Sankirtan?
He says he thinks he read it.
He thinks he read it somewhere. Okay, so the premise to the question has been challenged.
He just said maybe he made a mistake.
Okay. Yeah, praying like that's one thing, whether being given the benediction like that. I mean, I think there are, you know, like the personified Vedas, they become gopis, right? Okay. So nobody has any examples right now. Another question?
I don't know if the example was of Uddhava when he went to go talk to the gopis. And I think he said something about the dust or being a blade of grass that he would take that. But I'm not sure. But I guess it's like a question or a thought that brought up was, you said how pure devotees, how, you know, they can desire to have be like an insect or different things like that. And when a pure devotee is completely surrendered, they're completely controlled in service by Krishna. So those desires, are they directed by Krishna? Krishna's bringing up that to give us examples of surrender, of how surrendered we should be, and to have like complete faith in the control, the ability that Krishna has.
So yes, these statements are made by great Vaishnavas, and they're recorded in the Shastras, which are intended for our benefit. So they are meant, as far as I can tell, as examples that are there for our, you know, reference. So I think the answer to the question, as far as I can see, my best understanding is that yes, those kinds of examples are there for us to meditate upon. Maharaj. Okay.
After Brahma had committed an offense, he prayed that he could take birth in a family where he would engage in devotional service and would become humble. So he took birth as Haridas Thakura.
Okay. And what's the source of that?
Chaitanya Charitamrita. There it says, Haridas Thakura is a partial incarnation of Lord Brahma, a partial incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj.
Oh, okay. Okay, and then finally, Govinda Dutt.
It speaks about here how Prithu Maharaj, although he was a householder, was actually in the renounced order of life, sannyas. So for such householders, is there any necessity? Because we know Prahlad Maharaj also remained in the householder life. Is there any necessity for them taking sannyas?
I mean, Srila Prabhupada's kind of directly addressed that. He said it's not always necessary to take on the symbols, you know, the visible symbols of sannyas. And then, yeah, Bhagavad Gita, you know, Krishna says, sa sannyasi cha yogi cha, you know, like if you're giving everything to Krishna, then you actually are, you know, a sannyasi as being described here. And generally, I think that very renounced householders, I mean, not artificially renounced, but, you know, truly renounced householders are honored and respected, you know, for that as being kind of like the equivalent of sannyasis. I mean, Lord Chaitanya was like that. Like, Ramananda Roy was, you know, householder, but, you know, Lord Chaitanya was taking instruction from him, as we were hearing in Lokanath Maharaj's presentations. So, and of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur He was called Thakur, but he's a householder. So there are many examples like that of householders, renounced householders who are dedicating everything to Krishna's service, you know, being regarded as like sannyasis. Of course, sannyasis, they're, you can look at sannyas as simply one of the ashramas in the varnashram system, is sort of an official social position. But I think in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is describing sannyas as a characteristic of pure devotional service. In terms of this latter thing, as a characteristic of pure devotional service, anyone in any ashram could be manifesting that spirit of sannyas, completely giving everything to Krishna. Because that's the mood of the gopis. You had to give everything to Krishna. So you can say they were very renounced. But then there also is, at the same time, the official ashram of sannyas with the visible symbols, you know, of that renounced order of life. And they also should be in the mood of sannyas renunciation. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.